Hey, this is Pastor Ricky Ortiz at MetaChurch, and I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into our podcast and supporting our ministry. If you'd like to learn more about MetaChurch, you can visit us online at meta.church, and we're praying this message inspires you and encourages you to pursue your relationship with Jesus. So the new year typically is something we go into with a lot of excitement and a lot of anticipation and a lot of hopefulness. For most of us, if not all of us, we look at a new year as kind of like a turning the page, starting a new chapter. And we go into it with a lot of expectation and a lot of optimism. You know, there's a lot of things that we look ahead and say, you know what, in the new year, I want to go visit this place on vacation. I want to spend time with this person or with this family member. I want to experience something different. I want to try venturing into a new career, or maybe I want to try something totally out of the blue and start something like improv or whatever. The start of a new year is always that kind of natural and great opportunity to kind of think about what's to come and look ahead with a sense of hopefulness, with a sense of optimism, with a sense of anticipation. But all of that changed because of 2020. All of that, maybe you're finding yourself wrestling over these last few days or even the last few weeks as we're getting ready to move ahead, and you thought we're leaving 2020 behind, but I'm not really sure what to make of what's to come. I don't know that I have the same level of excitement or anticipation. In fact, 2020 for many of us created or caused us to go into this new year with a level of trepidation and hesitation. You know, we've looked ahead and thought, well, what's going to happen next? What could go wrong? What is it that I don't see that's on the horizon? You know, is it possible? When will life ever go back to normal or have a sense of normalcy? Will I be able to travel again? Will I be able to eat out or indoors again? Will I be able to do any of those things that I miss or that I feel like I've lost, all of that? And because of what we experienced last year, maybe for many of us, it's caused us to come into this year with a level of skepticism, with a level of uncertainty. And as if New Yorkers weren't already jaded, maybe some of you have found yourself to be even more jaded and said, you know what? Yeah, I can't trust the new year. I mean, look, I trusted 2020. I went into it with high hopes. I went into it with great expectations. I went into it with, you know, man, this is going to be my year. And all of a sudden, it was none of those things. And so I can't trust that 2021 is going to be any better or yield anything more fruitful or beneficial for me. And that's fair, because 2020 was tough. 2020 was a difficult year. And listen, I'm the first to raise my hand, and I don't need to run down the list of woe is me, look at everything that happened to Ricky, but I never even had the chance to go into 2020 or experience a part of 2020 with hope and anticipation, because on New Year's Eve 2019 is when I received the phone call that my dad had passed away. And so before the year could even get started, it was already sidetracked or derailed in many ways. And of course, you know, all of us, we went into 2020 and then the pandemic hits and everything gets sidetracked. Everything got derailed. And we in a way had to learn how to grieve all of the things that we lost. You know, there were some people who lost jobs. There were some people who lost employment opportunities, who lost income. And because of that, they lost housing or they lost where they were living and had to move into a different situation. There were people who lost relationships, you know, the friendships moving away and people separating and going other directions. And so they lost those relationships. And of course, there's, you know, in the extreme cases where people lost loved ones due to COVID or for other reasons. And so you had to grieve and you had to, you know, recognize or acknowledge these loss of relationships. And for all of us, whether we acknowledged it or recognized it in the moment, for all of us, we lost a way of living. We lost the way of life. It's why we're doing this right now. It's why I'm preaching to a camera to you or through a camera to you, because our way of living no longer exists. There's just no, let's get together for this event, or let's have, you know, concerts or sporting events or church gatherings or just going home for the holidays and so many different ways of life that we were accustomed to and familiar with were lost in 2020. And there was just this bizarre experience for all of us. And because of that, it's kind of created for many of us, if not all of us, it's created this kind of uncertainty about what's to come, and maybe tainted the level of hopefulness and optimism that you might have in a typical year as you transition and turn the page into a brand new year. And so you found yourself not feeling that sense, but still kind of wrestling with the things of the past or the things of this last year that were difficult and that were hard. And as I said, that were tough. But listen, despite the hardships, there were still some good things in 2020. There were some good things that took place. In fact, Kristen and I have heard from so many people within our church about the freedom and the healing and the clarity that was brought and the purpose that God did and the ability to do that, even with those, with people who have moved away, you know, the opportunity to step into something different was a blessing from God. And for while some lost jobs, others were able to retain their jobs and you didn't take it for granted any longer. And listen, I know some people in our church experienced the woes and the pains of COVID firsthand. But then there were others who realized, listen, I'm blessed because I'm healthy. I'm grateful that, I mean, really, truth be told, we recognize the significance and the importance of having good health. And we didn't take it for granted, where in other years past, we might have. And so it was a blessing to experience those things. It was, you know, something that we recognized as good in our lives that, you know what, if I have my family or if I have my loved ones or if I have my health or if I have my job or if I have a roof over my head and food on my table, that there are good things in my life. And the truth is that makes sense because that's what God desires for us, that regardless of what's happening in the bad realm or what regardless of what's taking place in our lives that feels bad or that is bad, that God is at work to produce good. You see, that's part of God's character. That's part of his nature, that God as a father always intends to bring good for his children. And he always desires to work even what is bad, and he desires to work it out for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, as Romans 8:28 tells us. And that's what God wants. And you know, this year, even though it was difficult to see the good at times, even though it was challenging to account, and it oftentimes felt like the bad outweighed the good, that it reminded me of a parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 13. And it's this parable of the wheat and the weeds. And I want to read just the first part of it, just the first few verses in Matthew 13, starting in verse 24. And Jesus, it says this, it says, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, and then they slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. Verse 27, the farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where do they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. So should we pull the weeds out? They asked. No, he replied, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them to put the wheat in the barn. Now, let me kind of summarize what's taking place here, okay? Because we don't live, or most of us, I don't know where you're watching from, but most of us don't live in an agricultural kind of realm or through look at life through an agricultural paradigm. Okay, we, you know, me, I'm in a city, you might be somewhere else, but I doubt you're farming. And so wheat was a commodity. Wheat was valuable. Wheat was a trade asset. Wheat was worth something. And so Jesus tells this parable of a farmer who planted wheat. He wanted to grow something good, something that would bring value, something that would be beneficial to a multitude of people. And during the darkness of the night, an enemy crept in and he sowed seeds. He sowed weeds to grow up with the wheat. And by the time the crop started to grow, and by the time it became obvious or apparent that weeds had been growing with the wheat, and the farmers or the farmhands recognized it, they went to their master and said, what do we do? Should we pull this out? And he's like, no, don't pull it out, because you're going to uproot or you're going to take out what's good. So let it grow. And then at the time of harvest, we'll separate the wheat from the weeds and we'll deal with it as we need to. Jesus goes on later in this chapter to kind of explain the meaning of this parable. And he says that, you know, the farm is the earth and the wheat are the children of God. And the weeds are those who have not given their life to God. And he says that the enemy sows these seeds to uproot or to disrupt or interfere or to crowd out the children of God.
But at the time of harvest, Jesus says, that's a time when God will separate the wheat from the weeds. And he says he will separate those who are in alignment with God's kingdom and those who are not. And those who are not will be dealt with harshly, while those who are a part of the kingdom of God will reap a harvest. And so there's this kind of immediate immediate application for what this parable means. But there's also a secondary application, which is what I want to talk to, or what I want to spend the bulk of this time speaking to today. And the secondary application is something that I think we've all experienced over the course of the last 365 days or a little bit more than the last 365 days. But it's something that I think is going to inspire you. It's something that I think is going to help bring some perspective. And it's something that I hope and pray will actually help chart the course for 2021, that it'll help set the pace and help you see what God is doing and the good that he's trying to bring about in your life. You see, God has been in the business of growing good things in your life. God, as the farmer, has desired to grow up something of value, to grow up something of meaning, to grow up something of purpose and hopefulness within your life. But we have a very real enemy, and his enemy desires to attack. As Jesus said, he desires to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so though God is growing something good in you, the enemy has sought to sow some seeds that would grow up alongside of the good that God is growing in you to disrupt it, to distract you from it, and to cause you to miss out on what God is actually trying to do in your life. And some of you have experienced that over the course of the last year. Some of you encountered that firsthand and very intimately. You had seeds of worry sprouting in your life. You had seeds of doubt coming up. You had seeds of fear that started to sprout. You saw the weed of despair show its ugly head. You saw the weed of depression or anxiety. And all of these things started to surface, and all of these things started to grow within you. Fear, worry, stress, anxiety, depression, loneliness, addiction. These things started to grow. And you're like, where did this come from? What happened to me? Why? Like, this is not what I want. This is not what I envisioned. This is not what I dreamed of when I dreamed of 2020. And yet somehow this is what I'm experiencing in my life. And it's caused you to experience some frustration in your relationship with God. It's caused you to experience some tension. Like, God, where are you? Where is the good? What's happening? And it's more than just what's taking place on the surface, because here's what's happened. 2020 has exposed some things within us. 2020 revealed some things that were within us that we didn't know of or that we weren't aware of. Some things the enemy has sought to plant, to grow up, and to crowd out the good that God intended to bring in our lives. And 2020 revealed all of that. Because there, you know, it's funny, as I talk with different people, it doesn't matter if they're in a different part of the world. It doesn't matter if they're right here in New York or in my own building or in my own apartment. Well, as I talk with people, what I realize, and what we've had this kind of conversation on repeat with so many different people, so many different walks of life, is that 2020 has revealed that there's no outlet to escape from what's been surfacing. You can't go on a vacation to distract yourself. You're not going into the office and spending tons of time locked in a cubicle or locked in an office to distract yourself with what's happening. You can't escape your family. You can't escape your loved ones. And so what has happened is that because you've had nowhere to run, you can't even go to your church and get counsel from your pastor or from your church community. And what's happened is that it's revealed some things that have grown up within us that has been at work. The enemy has sown to be at work against the work of God in your life. See, God is intended to bring good things, and you felt this dilemma, right? Maybe you feel like you can see God's blessings because you still have your job. Your health has been well. You have a place where you're, but you don't necessarily feel God's presence in your life. Maybe you found yourself trusting God's heart. Like, God, I know you're good. God, I know that you do good things. God, I know that you care about me, but you're doubting his ability. God, I know you're good, but why aren't you doing anything? Can you do anything? Why don't you stop this? Why can't you change this? Why can't you do something alternative or something differently to make this better? Maybe you've grown in faith this year, or you've grown in faith over the last 365 days, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, my faith is stronger, but it's because I've been tested at every level. And listen, I'll raise my hand and say an amen to that. Today, I am stronger in my faith than I was a year ago or than I was on December 31st, 2019. But it's because my faith has been tested over the course of the last year. And so it's like, wow, praise God, I'm stronger in my faith. But man, I took some punches. Man, I fought some battles. Man, I had to work through some difficulties. And so you find yourself in that same situation where it's like, yeah, there's some good things and I can see some good things, but I'm struggling because of these bad things, these seeds that have been planted and these weeds that are growing up alongside them. Like I said, weeds of depression, weeds of anxiety, weeds of fear, weeds of uncertainty or doubt that are surfacing and showing their face and showing their and rearing their ugly heads before me. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. And if you felt that way, and if you've struggled with that, or if you feel like, you know what, you're saying this and it speaks right to my heart, then I've got some good news for you. I've got some good news for you because listen, God in his time will pull up those weeds. God in his time will remove the things that the enemy has sown, and what will remain is something of value, is something of meaning, is something of purpose. And the reason I know this to be true is because this is exactly what God has done in my life, and this is exactly what God has done in Krista's life over the course of the last 5 years as we've seen God rework and do some different things in us. And I was reminded of this in such a vivid manner back in 2016. Back in 2016, Krista and I had like an 8-day trip or a 9-day trip over to the UK. And it was just her and I. Krista's mom came in to watch Gia. And so it was amazing. We were able to go and have 9 days across London and across the UK to just enjoy ourselves. And it was an amazing, amazing trip. And just before we went on that trip, you know, I had been in, at that time, almost 3 years of counseling and therapy. You know, as I've shared on different occasions, that our marriage was crumbling, our marriage was falling apart, and we were on the brink of divorce. But at this point, in the spring of 2016, we had just been commenting and talking with one another and saying, you know, it feels like it feels like we're whole. It feels like we're back to our normal selves, like that we're healthy, that God has restored us, and that we're on the right path, and that we're in this together, and we're on the same team, and that like our marriage is now like the rock of our relationship versus like the vulnerability of our relationship. And so we took this trip to the UK, and we spent some days in London, and then we were heading west to a town called Hereford, where our friends at Freedom Church reside, and it's kind of on the western part of the Midlands of England, near the Welsh border. And so we decided that we would take a train from London Paddington Station over to the western part of England, just kind of ride through the countryside, because why not? It's stunning, it's beautiful, it looked amazing. So we decided that we would do this, and it was about a 3-hour train ride. So along this train ride, it was, if you've never been to the UK, it's everything you would imagine in terms of Harry Potter. I mean, it looks just like that, or I should say Harry Potter looks just like England, but it's these rolling hills. There's these old cottages that are made out of stone, and the countryside with sheep all over the place. I mean, it really is just a sight to behold. And so we took this train and we're heading west, and all along these kind of like hills, as far as we could see, the hills would be covered with like this beautiful, like yellow flower. And I mean, rolling hills as far as we could see, and you would just see patches of yellow, like shining in the sun and just kind of beaming. And it was just like, it was really dramatic and it was quite stunning. In fact, I can show you better than I can tell you. And so I've got like a few pictures to illustrate just how beautiful these things were. And as you can see from these photos, they cover like the whole range of the hillside. They weren't just like, you know, short flowers. They were tall. Like there's, you know, Krista standing in these in these flowers, and it was just amazing to see. And so as we got to the train station in Hereford, and we met up with our friends, and they asked us, you know, how was the train ride? And we're like, man, it was amazing. It was lovely. It was beautiful. And our friend Saz and Dave were there. And so Krista asked our friend Saz, she said, well, what were those yellow flowers, like those beautiful flowers that we saw all over the place? Like, look, we took pictures. And she was like, and Saz's like, flowers? And she's like looking at the photos, and she's like, oh, you mean rapeseed? And we're like, well, I mean, I don't know. Is that what it's called? She's like, yeah. She's like, that's a weed. That's a weed. You see, and we're like, oh, it's a weed. We're like, well, this is beautiful. She's like, oh, it's nothing. The farmers take that and they plant that weed and they let it grow in the soil and then they chop it off. And then in the next season, they plant the crop that they actually want to grow. And in that spot where those weeds were growing, it was actually farmland. And the farmers had, you know, sowed this seed and they would chop it down because it would enrich the soil so that when they grew the crops they wanted to grow, the crops would be richer, they would be more valuable, and they would have a kind of a greater impact on the whole of those who would consume them. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke something to us and just kind of downloaded something into our lives. And he just said to us, the same soil where the weeds had grown up in your marriage is the soil in which I will bring purpose, hope, and meaning. The same soil in which the weeds grew up in your marriage is the soil that I will bring purpose, hope, and meaning. And we had just had this conversation literally within the previous 7 days about, wow, it feels like our marriage is right. It's been restored. Like there's now, like this is the bedrock. And God was speaking to us and saying, listen, there were some weeds that grew up in your marriage. There were some weeds that showed themselves in your lives. And the enemy had sown some things that brought discord, that brought trouble, that brought pain, that brought hurt, that made you question everything. But I've pulled those things out. And now that same soil, there's something valuable. There's something significant there. There's something that's going to be a blessing to a multitude of people. And we have been able to share our marriage experiences. We've been able to share what God has walked us through. We've been able to offer what we've navigated and how God has restored us with couples literally all over the world. We've had people fly to New York City and sit in our living room just to talk about marriage for a short weekend stay. And that was it and nothing more. And so God took where the weeds had grown and he brought something valuable. And listen, if God did it for us, then God can do it for you. And so you look at the whole of 2020 and you say, man, it was a bad year. It was a terrible year. It was awful. My life was falling apart. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. But I'm here to tell you today that just because that took place doesn't mean that God is doing something good in you and that God wants to grow something great out of you. And so you have to be willing to go through the process. You have to be willing to let it ride out. Because listen, God or Jesus gave the farmers some specific instruction, like, should we rip out the bad? And he said, no, don't do that, because then you will rip out the wheat as well. And listen, I know what our temptation is. Our temptation is to say, you know what, 2020 was a terrible year. I want nothing to do with it. And so we want to block out the memory of it. We want to block out the experiences. We want to deny or suppress the things that we weren't proud of, the things that grew up that we don't feel great about. But Jesus says, no, let those things grow. Let those things grow. It's not your responsibility to remove them. It's God's responsibility to remove them. So let them grow. And the point that he made to the farmers, or excuse me, the point in the parable to the farmers is that, listen, you're going to uproot something and also take away the good that comes with it. And again, I can't say this enough. There were some good things that God is growing in your life because of 2020. Just because it feels like things were bad, just because it feels like things were less than ideal, does not negate or deny the fact that God is growing good things in you and through you. And so take account of the good. Look to see where God is sowing. Look to see where God is planting. Look to see what God is harvesting in your life. And then dream big. Dream for 2021. Dream beyond 2021. Dream of the harvest, because there is a harvest coming. Those good things that God is growing in you are going to produce fruit. They're going to produce purpose. They're going to produce hope. They're going to produce meaning. In our lives, it was our marriage. I don't know what it might be in your life, but I do know that God has something for you. I don't know when the harvest is coming, but I do know that it's coming. And when it comes, it will be just as Jesus said at the end of this parable in Matthew 13, 43. He said this, then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Listen, Metachurch, God wants you to shine. God has purpose for you. God has meaning for you in 2021 and beyond. Maybe your 2020 was great. Maybe 2021 is your year of challenge. There's no guarantee. There's no promise that things are smooth sailing just because we turn the page or the day on the calendar flipped. But here's what I know. Regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what you've experienced, regardless of where you've been, God is growing good things in you, through you, and for you. He loves you. He cares about you. And he doesn't want you to miss out on the harvest that's coming your way. So yes, let it grow. Take account of those good things and dream of a harvest because it's on its way.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We hope it encourages you in your faith and blesses you throughout the week. If you'd like to find out more about Meta Church, you can find us online at meta.church. And we hope to see you again next week on the podcast.